Our scripture this morning is 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made complete in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast of my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Jim and Carol Shores, also known as Acts of Renewal, have been doing Christian drama around the country for the last 18 years. We're glad to have them here. They did one program last night. They're doing one this morning, and they'll be doing another one this evening. So please welcome Jim and Carol, Acts of Renewal.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here today. We are so thrilled. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. By the way, my name is Jim Shores.
And I'm Carol Anderson Shores.
And we're Acts of Renewal. We just want to encourage you. Carol and I have been on your campus a number of times. And the last time we were here, I think it was 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And the difference in the spiritual atmosphere here is significant, meaning it's better. Just the Spirit of Christ among you as we walk through your campus and just see Christ on your faces, and you're just alive. It's like the campus has woken up a little bit, a lot actually. And we just want to encourage you, whatever you're doing here, you know, sometimes you can see kids grow. You'll see them at this age and you come back and visit them and you see that they've grown and their parents don't. We see that this campus has changed significantly, and we want to encourage you with that.
And we're here today to, well, we're going to look at sex in a variety of ways. And we're going to do that by kind of bringing it to life through theater. And tonight, we want you to come at 7 o'clock because we're going to be doing LSD, which is?
The hallucinogenic combination of love, sex, and dating. We're going to talk about those three, have you on the sex. And what we're going to be talking about is the fact that we are sexual creatures. No surprise, God created us that way. But how we approach sex and our sexuality definitely influences, as you well know, our dating relationships and then our marriages. So we're going to perform theater pieces that are very funny, that are going to open some questions, answer some questions, open some cans of worms, get us talking about some of these issues. So come tonight, 7 o'clock,
and
John White.
And yes. What we also do is we hand out index cards so you can write any question or comment that you want. We go through some of those cards as part of the program. Very entertaining, but very illuminating. And we're talking real talk about real stuff. So come at 7 o'clock. It's a little over an hour long. You'll have a good time.
But this morning we're going to talk about relationships, and I'm going to give my testimony afterwards. But rather than talking, we're going to do what we do best. We're going to perform a theater piece for you entitled Bird Watching.
Okay, does this question make any sense to you?
Nothing about this lab is making sense to me.
I take it you're not a science major?
I'm currently undeclared.
I thought you were a junior.
I am. What I want to know is how identifying 10 birds, 15 trees, and 20 whatchamacallits...
herbaceous plants.
...is going to help my life.
Oh, you're not going to get the most out of this if you come at it that way.
Look, I'm fulfilling a requirement here. I'm not, like, changing my life.
Well, you're not going to learn anything if you do it that way.
What are you, Mary Poppins?
What's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
No, what's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
Everybody has a favorite bird. What is it?
A cardinal, okay?
And look, it's right there on our list.
Of course it is. It's like the state bird of half the East Coast.
I'm just trying to help.
Sorry, what's your name?
Haley.
Sorry, Haley, I'm just not having a really great...
day?
Week, semester, life right now.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I just want to identify birds so I can go off and freak out somewhere, okay?
All right, well, let's get started. Oh, I see a bird in that bush straight ahead. Can you tell what kind of color that is on its tail?
Where?
Where are your binoculars?
I didn't know we were supposed to bring binoculars.
It says so right on the syllabus. Didn't you read it?
No. Why would I read a syllabus?
To know you're supposed to bring the binoculars she assigned.
Okay, well, I didn't, all right?
Fine, grouch.
Freshman.
I am not a freshman. I'm a sophomore.
Well, you wouldn't know it.
What is wrong with you anyway?
Nothing. Let's just count birds.
Well, we can't do that because you didn't bring the binocular she assigned.
You count birds, I'll count trees.
No, we're supposed to do that together. That's what Dr. Klein said.
Well, as you've pointed out, I can't.
Do you even know the trees?
Yeah, I can recognize a flowering dogwood and a sugar maple, thank you. I'm not an idiot.
Why do I have to end up with a psycho killer?
I heard that.
Oh, look, there's a cardinal. He's flying this way. He's... Where did...
Whoa! Did you see that?
Yes!
Oh my gosh, he landed on my shoulder.
I know.
That was crazy.
Maybe he likes you.
That was weird.
Wasn't that weird that your favorite bird lands on your shoulder?
Yes, but let's not make too much out of it, okay?
I'm just trying to make conversation.
Well, don't.
Why are you so mad?
I'm not mad.
Then what are you?
I'm barely holding it together, okay?
Why?
My girlfriend just broke up with me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, funny thing is, I was going to ask her to marry me next week.
That's not funny.
I know. So anyway, it's probably why I'm not the best lab partner right now. I haven't really dealt with it yet, okay?
Is she the pretty girl with the red hair that meets you after class?
Met me after class.
Sorry.
Do you ever just wonder what the point is?
Of what?
Everything.
Oh, I can't think like that.
Like, how can any of this add up to anything that remotely resembles a life?
Don't talk like that.
It's a big question, isn't it? You know, is my life going to amount to anything? Am I a loser in the making? Am I already a loser?
Would you stop it?
I mean, what about you? What if you major in all this science stuff and you don't even get into med school or whatever?
Oh, I'd kill myself.
You could be a loser, just like me.
Oh, really? I'd kill myself. That or my dad would do it for me.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Can we just get down to doing this? Oh, I've got so much work to do. I've got to finish two papers tonight, and I've got to start research on my honors project.
Your honors project? Isn't that like your senior year?
My dad thought it would be a good idea if I started early. I'm on the accelerated program. You know, I've placed out of a lot of classes so I can graduate early. Isn't that exciting?
I guess. Is that what you want?
Oh, it better be, don't you think? I mean, of course it is. Can we just not go there?
If you say so. You want a Snickers?
Oh, what?
A Snickers. I'm kind of hungry.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Oh, come on. Everybody likes Snickers.
No, thanks.
Oh, come on. I was a jerk. No, take it. It's my peace offering.
No, it's okay.
Oh, come on. Look at this. Mine is going to be really good. Oh,
it's
look
okay.
At that. Yum, yum. Chewy caramel. Lots of peanuts.
I can't eat that, okay?
Oh, come on. You're so skinny. You can eat 10.
I'm just not hungry. That's all.
All right. Let's just count birds.
Fine.
And trees.
Great.
One eastern redbud. Circus canadensis. This yours?
What?
This book. It's on this bench beside a white birch. Thank you very much.
No, I think that... Wait. Wow. My mother used to read to me from this book when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
That book?
Well, no, not this very one, but, I mean, it's like the same picture, the same edition. The Collected Works of Robert Frost.
Oh, that's cool. Is that from the library?
No, it's not.
Well, maybe you could keep it. Give it to your mom, like, as a present, you know, like for Mother's Day.
I wish I could.
Oh, come on. Why can't you?
She's in heaven.
Oh, God. I'm really sorry.
It's okay. She died when I was, like, 11. But she used to read to me from this book. Like, The Road Less Traveled. Oh, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. This was her favorite one, Birches. I can't believe that.
That's kind of cool. Maybe you're supposed to find that.
It's just a coincidence.
I don't say that.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, like, what are the odds?
Really?
Okay, I guess personally, maybe I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't a coincidence.
Wow, my counselor said the most interesting thing last week.
You go to a counselor?
Yes.
Oh, I just meant of course you do. I mean, it is fine that you do. I mean, everybody does, right?
okay?
Oh, is that why you wouldn't eat my Snickers?
Why am I telling you?
I won't tell anybody, I swear.
I almost don't even care anymore. Oh. Just wish I could be honest about it.
Well, what did your counselor say?
Well, it's about coincidences. She said that if Jesus rose from the dead, then he's living today and he's doing things in my life. I just need to open my eyes and notice the things that he's doing.
You think Jesus left that book here for you?
Well, I think he might have arranged it somehow.
You found it.
I did.
All right, maybe I shouldn't say this, but supposing Jesus left that book here for you, I mean, what would the significance of that be? I mean, like, what would it mean?
What would it mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that he's involved. That he's involved in my life, and he knows where I am, like right this minute, and just maybe my life, maybe I matter to him.
Oh, you matter? Oh, come on, you matter to him big time.
How do you know?
I don't know. I just know.
Oh, yeah, this is from my existential lab partner.
Hey, look, I said I'm having a bad life this week. I didn't say I stopped believing in God.
Hey, I know what you should major in.
What?
Philosophy, for pity's sake.
That used to be my major.
Why'd you change it?
Oh, my girlfriend's dad made it pretty clear he didn't think it was too practical of a major.
Well, maybe this is none of my business, but I don't think it's too practical to base your major on the opinion of your future in-laws.
Well, they're not now.
Well, maybe that's like a good thing, like, you know, in the big picture. Like I said, it's none of my business.
How come you have an eating disorder?
I don't know. My counselor says it's something about trying to please my dad, trying to make up for my mom's death.
You can't do that.
Do what?
Make up for your mom's death.
I know that. I know it up here. Somehow it gets down here, it gets all messed up, and I just can't bear to eat.
Don't you get hungry?
It's not that simple.
Guess nothing ever is.
But you know, my counselor is saying to me, she says, no matter what I'm doing or just trying to do, that Jesus is in the midst of things, working it out.
All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So my dad used to say to me in high school, I used to make fun of him. I'd call it the cheesy verse.
Yeah, but if it's true, it's not cheesy.
I know.
God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's kind of what I'm holding on to right now, so please don't make fun of it.
It's kind of what I'm basing my life on right now, too. Yesterday, I met Alicia after class. I tried so hard to come up with something like amazing to say to her, you know, something that would hold her there talking to me like we used to. And instead, she got this trapped look in her eyes, started nodding really fast, scanning everybody else going out the door. I mean, she used to think I was amazing, and now, like, I embarrass her. It's pathetic, isn't it?
You want to be friends? I don't mean I want to date you.
Thanks.
I just don't think either one of us is very good dating material at the moment.
I don't want to date again until I'm dead. Yeah, sure, I'd like to be friends. Part of my problem, I don't have any. I dumped them all when I started dating Alicia.
Friend?
Yeah, sure. Friend. How many birds you got?
I have two. How many trees do you have?
13.
13?
Yeah.
13?
I'm not as dumb as I look. You know what? I got a great idea. Why don't you get the rest of the birds? Maybe you could catch those herbaceous plants.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to sit on this bench and figure out the philosophical meaning of this lab. This could be like a neo-orthodox existential environmental lab.
Yeah. You know, I see about 10 more trees over there that need identifying.
You want to just bag all this, go to the grill instead?
No.
Oh, come on, I am starving right now. I could really go for a cheeseburger. I'd be happy to buy you some water. Sorry. Oh, sorry. You ever feel like an idiot like I do right now?
It's okay.
Still friends?
Yeah, still friends.
Thank you. You can't have that. My kids love it when we perform this piece because then they run up and get the Snickers bar afterwards because they know I only take a bite. Now, this piece, Carol and I wrote this. I wrote it after reading Brennan Manning's Abba's Child, which is a wonderful book. And in that book, there's a quote from that book in the theater piece where he says, if Jesus rose from the dead, and we believe that, then that means he's alive today, and he is in our lives doing things. We just need to look around and notice the things that he is doing. Now, for me, in my life, my journey has been interesting, and so has Carol's. Carol struggled with an eating disorder as a Christian for 12 years when she was in college. And I've struggled in college and in my 20s with sexual brokenness. And that brokenness impacted our lives in such a way that we just, we had to reach out to Jesus. There was no other choice. For me, my dad left home when I was 11 years old, turning 12. I grew up without a father. There was nobody there to show me how to change the oil in my car, how to tie a tie, how to shave, any of that. And just plus, I didn't have a dad. And he didn't just divorce my mom. He like split. He divorced the whole family. So for me, there was a lot of pain there. And when I was in high school, I started drinking to numb the pain. And then I went off to college, large state university, 23,000 students, UNC Chapel Hill down in North Carolina. I started smoking pot, and then I started sleeping around. And sex, drugs, and rock and roll became my drugs of choice. I didn't realize it at the time, to anesthetize the pain of my parents' divorce and growing up fatherless. And I just thought, well, while I'm at school, I'm sowing my wild oats, no big deal, this is just a phase. But the behaviors increased over time, they didn't decrease. And I began to realize that, if I stay on this path, I was going to become like Gollum in Lord of the Rings. He starts out, nice hobbit, ends up, my precious. Well, that was going to be me. I saw my road that I was headed for addiction and really was getting into addictive behavior. So I saw the writing on the wall, and I came back to Christ. And I fell to my knees. I remember I was in the West Texas desert at the Guadalupe Mountains. And I fell to my knees. I had just had sex with somebody I didn't really even know in Dallas the night before. And I just was like, Lord Jesus, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know who you are. I don't know anything. And boy, oh boy, I had a God come down, Holy Spirit, va-voom moment where I was like, oh wow, oh my gosh, this is real. And the Lord was present in my life. And at that moment, I knew I would have to give up these things that had become precious to me. And I didn't know how to do it. Well, my journey, I started going to see a counselor, a Christian counselor. And the counselor said to me, you really need to journal about what happened to you when you were a kid and allow yourself to grieve it. And I thought that was just psychobabble. But I was like, okay, that's better than drinking and sleeping around, so I'll journal and I'll grieve. And so I began to do that, and lo and behold, there was a deep well of pain down in there that in prayer started coming up and out as in my 20s. And I just started weeping before the Lord. And what happened in that process is that grief came up and out. Jesus was able to go down and in more deeply and turn what had been a festering wound into a healed, sound scar that I will bear the rest of my life. So grieving was very important for me as an ingredient in healing from sexual brokenness. But number two was worship. As I spent time before the Lord worshiping him, he is in the business of giving me back to myself. Because think about it. He has the blueprint of who we are supposed to be. He created us. The world and Satan are in the business of daily bending and skewing that blueprint. And as we spend time with him, he straightens it back out. He gives us back to ourselves and makes us who we were truly meant to be. It's a mysterious thing. As we become more and more like Christ, we become more and more the individual we were meant to be, that God created us to be. And then out of that, we're able to exercise our gifts and talents to begin to minister to others and spread his kingdom. So just as in the first scripture piece that was in the service, his power is made complete in our weakness. And then the second one, for I know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. In my life, he hasn't wasted anything. The foolish choices that I made, it's not that I'm proud of them, and it's not that I'm glad that I made them, but God doesn't waste them. So now I can go up to somebody who is dealing with sexual brokenness, and they can tell me their story and where they are and what they're struggling with, and I can talk to them about it, and they'll listen to me because they know that I know. And so I've earned the right to speak into their lives, just as Carol can go and speak into someone's life who is struggling with an eating disorder, the same thing. So he doesn't waste our pain. There's no point in my life that I look back on and go, that was just completely futile. That was useless. Bad things happened back then, but God has taken those and woven those into the tapestry of my life. And what Satan meant for evil, God has turned into good. And he is faithful always to do that. But we have to seek him. So for me in my life, allowing myself to grieve the pain and then spending time in worship were two very key ingredients. But as I spent time with him in worship and began to love him and allow him to love me, one of the surprising things that comes out of that is a desire from our core to obey him. And I was not expecting that. Growing up without a father, I was, if you put an authoritarian male figure in my life, I would react like that. I would just be like, if you tell me to go left, I will go right. If you tell me it's black, I'll tell you it's white. I just was anti-authority. So I had a very hard time dealing with obedience before the Lord because I saw God through the lens of my earthly father. But as I spent time with God, I saw who he really was. I felt who he really was. And I suddenly got at how much, how deeply he loves me, that he would die for me, that he would never leave me, that he would never forsake me, that he loved me that much, that he gave his life for me. And so slowly, three steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, two steps back, I began to learn how to obey him and to do so willingly and eventually joyously. Corrie Ten Boom once said, I've learned not to hold the things of this world so tightly in my hand because it hurts less when God pries them out of my hand. So for you today, some of you have rough backgrounds. Some of you did not grow up in ideal Christian Leave It to Beaver homes. All of us deal with temptations. And for us, all of us today, we constantly, daily, have to make that choice. Whom am I going to follow? Am I going to follow what I think is best? Or am I going to seek the Lord and do my best to follow him? Am I going to stay in the Word? And am I going to spend time seeking out times of worship? Or am I going to go my own way? And we have that choice daily, and it never, ever comes to an end. We always have that choice. But the more and more right now that you can get in the habit of spending time with God daily, the more and more that spiritual discipline becomes a piece of your life so that, you know, you be like Carol and I. We get up in the morning. We make coffee. As I was telling the group last night, we make coffee because we're addicted to it. We sit down. We drink our coffee. We get out the Bible, we read, our kids schlep their way in, they crawl into our laps, and that's how we start our day, just about every day of our lives. And it's just a rhythm. It's just how. So I encourage you, what does that rhythm look like for your life? Where are you just spending time with your Abba, your daddy, your father, who is also the king of the universe who died for you? As you spend time with him, he is in the business of giving you back to yourselves.
I would say, just as an addendum, we speak at colleges all across the country, and the amount of sexual brokenness among students is huge. I remember one night I did a presentation, this is at Judson College, it was on eating disorders, and the gal who was in leadership who was driving me from point A to point B wanted to talk about a struggle she was having, and she said, I'm so ashamed because I'm a girl, and I'm struggling with pornography. And she said, I was exposed to it when I was 11 years old at a neighbor's house that my friend's dad made us watch this movie. And she said, and now it's like an addiction in my life. And we prayed together. I felt helpless, but I knew that Jesus was the one that could change a course of addiction. I bumped into, now we said goodbye, we prayed, I said goodbye. I didn't see her for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
8 years. And we ran into her at Northwestern up in Minnesota a couple years ago, where she was now an RD. And she talked about the journey she had made of healing, both in Christ's presence in her life and her doing what she needed to do to take care of her addiction. And Jim mentioned counseling, but you have a counseling center here that can make a difference. The people who are trained to hear in confidentiality your struggles, your pains, your woundedness from the past, and how that's manifesting in behavior now, whether it's pornography or sexual addiction. Sexual brokenness comes in a lot of different ways in male and female. But the big truth is that because of the cross, there is hope. Change is possible. Jim's brothers, one is a pastor who is addicted to pornography, coming again out of the brokenness of his dad leaving. And he dealt with his. His other brother struggled some, but he became the counselor at Dallas Theological Seminary. It meant that you needed to deal with it, but there is hope in Christ, and that it's a process, as with any addiction, of you do whatever you can do to get help, and God gives you the power to process into wholeness and healing. And it's real, and it's good. And Jim, you say that your life has been, how do you call it, the slow obedience in the...
A long obedience in the same direction, and that's what we're all called to. But if you're dealing with something today that has kind of got a hold of you, you probably need a wise, older Christian counselor, mentor, or pastor in your life. There's something very healing about telling our story out loud to another person who's not going to judge us. And you're going to need accountability partners who are your own age, who are wise, who are going through the same things, who are not going to judge you and are not going to gossip behind your back, who can hold you accountable. And first and foremost, you need a wholehearted relationship with the Lord. We're going to talk about that more tonight, so please come at 7 o'clock. And if anything we've said has sparked an interest in you and you've got a question, come and talk to us afterwards, okay? We're going to hang around. If you see us on campus, grab us. We'd love to talk to you. And I'm going to close this with prayer.
And, tonight, although this is very kind of heavy and deep, we tonight come because there's a broad spectrum that we talk and use theater, and there's a lot of laughter, but there's also a lot of hope and just good information.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for sexuality and for sex. Give us wisdom about it. Thank you for relationships and community, and that you have made this Christian walk to not be a solo. I pray for wisdom and blessings upon this group, God. May you give them hope and healing in your name, we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all. We'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock.